helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 7:08 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. To those of you new to the show, here's who we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday morning, right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, the Yeti, 6'6", 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective, and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 340-1045, 340-1045. And if you're calling from Dallas, Texas. I was there earlier in the week.
How was it?
It was awesome. 904-340-1045. Sasquatch, large man.
Yes.
The trilogy, the triad, the triple crown.
Oh, okay.
Here are the things on my mind that I have brought to share with you today.
Brought to share. All right.
Yes, sir. Swarmers.
Swarmers.
Money back. And masterminds.
Okay. Masterminds.
Beautiful weather this week. Got up into the 80s. The pollen's out. The birds are chirping. And the termites are coming out to make love.
So also are those, we're destroying insects, those bees.
Yep.
Bumblebees, you know, those.
So be vigilant around your house looking for those swarmers.
Right.
Dropping their wings.
I've seen them coming out of old dead tree stumps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when they come out of the old dead tree stumps, they're also looking for nice fresh wood to come consume.
Yeah,
and your house is there.
Right.
It is not something to ignore.
Right.
You know, when the termites swarms, for all their good purpose, they're out looking for love.
Yes.
And soon they'll go away.
Yeah.
They'll seemingly go away. You clean up the dead bodies and the wings and all that stuff. They're not gone.
Right.
They're in there eating your house.
Munchies.
So when you see the swarm, get treatment right away. If you have an existing company, an existing bond, call them and get out there. Don't assume because they stop swarming that it's over. It just means they're up active and they're munching away.
Somewhere.
They've made love and they're now hungry.
Right. And their little progenies are going to be everywhere.
Yep. Second thing on my mind, money back. I reminded about this or shared this about a month ago, but the city council has decided that they will refund money paid for building permits, specifically roofing and electrical permits, that were pulled as a result of hurricane damage. This is still ongoing, so the money is sitting there. It's your money. And one of the things people not understand, let's make, assume you had a licensed roofer come out and they put a new roof on for you as a result.
Sure.
They paid the building department for that permit. You are the one entitled to the refund. You get it? Because the way the city council wrote this thing, you gave the money to the roofer. The roofer gave it to the city, and the city will give it back to you. One small thing to be aware of so you're not upset when you get your money back. It is typical and common that you pay more to the roofer to get the permit than the permit actually costs. That's just the truth of it. It costs them time, money, or they hire a service like Permits Made Simple to pull the permit for them. So you may, in fact, get less back than you perceive you paid, though you will get back 100% of the money that was received by the city. If you have questions on that, go direct to the city building department, or you can go to Permits Made Simple, and they'll take care of it for you. But Fallon's money. It's just wonderful. The last thing is masterminds. Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. Ever read
yes.
the book?
No.
Oh, really? I'll bring you a copy. It's a beautiful book.
Oh, good.
Anyway, Napoleon Hill was in the 1920s or 30s or so. Andrew Carnegie assigned him a 20-year project to meet the wealthiest, most successful, influential industrialists and world leaders to distill down common elements of all great success in America. Mm-hmm. And one of those elements was masterminds. And the idea was people would get together. Henry Ford was big in this. Ford, mm-hmm. Edison, and Firestone, these guys used to do this thing. They'd get together and say they had five people together. Oh, Burroughs, the naturalist, was one of their buddies, too. They used to go camping together. Anyway, so the masterminds would get together. And the thought was the power of the mastermind is more powerful than the sum of the individual minds. Anyway, you may be curious where I've been yes. going these last few weeks.
Yeah.
I've had a mastermind group down in Lauderdale and then on to the Bahamas 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
2 weeks ago with the mastermind group in Indianapolis, and this previous week here in Dallas with some of the most incredible, brilliant homospector business developer and related people in town. And we're launching a national program on pre-listing inspections targeting the goal of that entire collaboration was how to get homes sold faster and for less money. So I would tell you the power of the mastermind has been deposited here in Jacksonville in the embodiment of Home Pro inspections. And Dave Klima, who was one of the guys behind this thing, brilliant guy up in Indiana, owns a company called Aardvark Inspections, which is kind of a funny name.
Yeah, it is a funny name.
Beautiful company. Yeah, 60 home inspectors up there. Anyway, he's the phraseology he's used in this is changing the culture of real estate. So it's a happier, friendlier, more profitable, faster way to do business. And if your house is on the market and not sold, be sure to get hold of us during the week, and we'll introduce you and or your agent to
We worked on a couple projects. I mean, remember that one in Arlington in the middle of the economic recession? Worked on it. I fixed the driveway, did a few things, and you inspect the house, fix the thing, and the amount of things sold in a depressed market within a week.
Yep. It's the power of the mastermind, collaborative thinking.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you very candidly, it's sort of it's not quite spiritual, but philosophically.
Yeah.
You can come from abundance or you can come from scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a mindset of abundance, it's beautiful to bring other collaborators in with you to do great things, whether you're baking cookies or building buildings or whatever.
I like
you
the baking cookies part. I love cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking about going gluten free.
Gluten free?
Yeah.
It won't do you any good. I don't know what.
So, what's on your mind?
Hey,
come from abundance.
You know, come from.
And a spirit of gratitude.
A spirit of gratitude.
Yeah, try it out. You like it.
Oh, no, he's going to be lecturing for a whole week. He'll run out of gas next week, though. But that's a good thing about it. Well, you know, you're out in your apartments, and, you know, there's some great herbs that you grow. You know, people have apartments and condominiums, and they like to use them in their cooking during the summer season. Some of the easiest ones to grow that I've grown in containers, and they can stand a little neglect. You know, they're just not going to get up and die on you without without any warning. You know, you can go about a week without water. Some of the great ones I love is mint. Mint is a great herb, and very
chocolate
easy to grow.
Mint.
And they have a plethora. That's a big word for you, Wally.
I got it.
Flavors: chocolate, pineapple. And it has some great health benefits, you know, a great antiseptic, good for your skin, good for your circulatory system and respiratory system. Basically, you just got to put get some good planting mix or potting soil from Lowe's or Home Depot, and then put your herb in there, and then a little bit of fertilizer one time, and the thing's on the road. It will take over. Actually, it has a kind of a nice flower, a little white flower. So and just cut, and it's there forever. So once you get mint in your garden, I made a mistake one time planting mint in my garden, and actually in the dirt, and it will take over. You can use it as a ground cover. You know, a lot of people
didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a great ground cover. It takes some medium traffic and full sun, and but medium traffic and full sun, and it's a great ground cover. It just takes about maybe 3 or 4 months to fill in. So if you have an area in your garden, or that you got concrete on all four sides, you know, or some way to contain it. You mint is a great ground cover.
Not that concrete curbing. I hate that stuff.
No, I don't like it. But thyme is another great herb that, you know, you could push out from under the water. Doesn't need a lot of water. It really oftentimes has struggles during our, June to probably around August. August time where it's getting a lot
too
of
hot.
Water. Too much water. So you want to plant it in a dry area. But, you know, some, again, great health benefits, good for your circulation, good for your heart, antioxidants, and it tastes good.
I love it.
Use it in
We have inside herbs and outside herbs.
Yeah.
So our kitchen window has herbs in it that are in, are they pint-sized pots, I guess?
Yeah.
Relatively small pots. And then two things happen. One, you can fresh snip them.
Right.
And put it right on whatever you're doing. It makes the kitchen smell great.
Right.
And the things are as fresh as they can be. And then some of the things tend to get a little bushy.
Yeah.
You know, bigger than the windowsill.
Right, right.
And then those move to the outside.
Okay.
So I love
the parsley and those type of things.
Yeah.
Parsley.
Yeah. Rosemary in particular.
Rosemary is a
it's like a hedge.
That rosemary is another easy one to grow. A lot of health benefits with rosemary. And, you know, if you're into saving money like Wally, you know, a little.
Very much so.
Three or four small branches of rosemary, about 2 to 3 inches long, are about $3 to $4.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you go into Whole Foods or wherever and you get a fresh unit of herb, they have them in those little cool packs. They're in a plastic pack.
Right.
They're $4 to $6 for a little tiny chunk.
Right. And it's amazing.
It's kind of like when they have these big drug busts here on the news. You know, they said, you know, we had a bust today of $7 million worth of street value.
Right.
Well, yeah, but if you got it, I know a lot about that. Here's where I was going with that.
Okay.
Based on the Whole Foods retail price of some of these herbs that we can easily grow.
One rosemary bush would
be several thousand dollars. Yeah, I've got thousands and thousands of retail value in herb.
And
I certainly spent less than $100 for it, maybe less than 50.
So herbs are really inexpensive. They need hardly any care. They don't like a lot of fertilizer, a lot of water. They can sound drought. Oregano is another great herb that's very commonly used. And you're going to add freshness and, again, health benefits, antioxidants, improves your circulation, all these type of things if you use them as a fresh. You get the oil, a lot of that oil, much more than you are when you
And it just makes your meals feel better.
You know, yes.
It's very, very, very wonderful. It's 720 here at News 104.5. Brief break, jumping right on the phones to your calls at 340-1045. Check in with us. Love to hear from you. Right back. 725 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Lawrence.
Yeah.
You mind if I call you Lawrence?
No, not at all.
Okay,
not
good.
At all. My mother
was
does.
Thinking.
Okay.
We do lots and lots of home inspections. People, especially people who weren't born and raised here in Jacksonville, often have water softening on their mind.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And a couple of interesting things. There are some homes have them, some homes don't. Many homes that have them, they tend not to take care of them, and they're all funky looking.
Gunked up.
Yeah. Two interesting things about water softeners. One, in our partnership with Residential Warranty Services, we have where they cover failure of water softeners. No other policy does that, and that's pretty cool. Then it begs the question, okay, it's failed. It's covered under the warranty from Home Pro. Who do I get to service and repair this thing? It's pretty tough.
Mm-hmm.
We found out, and you know this too.
Yes.
Affordable Water. Folks over at Affordable Water, easy, trustworthy. They're on board with the program. So if you've got that challenge of, I need one, you can trust them. If you got that challenge of, mine's broke, I wonder if I can fix it or not, they can share that with you. And the other thing is, if you just want to put it on a regular service program, you'll never deal with it again. You know, you don't have to futz with it. It'll always be working clear and bright. So just wanted to share that.
Minimize your cost.
These things all blend together, you know, when you have a homogenous solution to problems. And happy to say that Affordable Water's been helping us out with that. Let's jump over to Mandarin, check in with Mike, and see if we can help him de-weed his garden. Welcome, Mike.
Since I haven't talked to you all year.
Well, I've missed you.
And I miss you, too, and I missed that extra hour, but I'm sure it was a good well thought out business decision.
Anyway, on with the question, Mike, before you go to nine.
It's real simple. We've been having really pretty hot weather lately, which I love. But is it still okay to put the atrazine out on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. As long as you're under around 85 degrees, you're in good shape. You know, and it's not getting up there that hot yet. But
okay.
I mean,
is it better to mow the lawn before I?
No. Put it out first.
Really?
Yeah, put it out first and then let it set for a couple days. Let it set for a couple days. Misses a couple days on the mowing.
So it absorbs it? Is that
right? Yeah, so it absorbs it, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, and then water it in after a few days.
Yep. We're talking about the spray-on. Are you talking about the granular?
No, spray-on.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's excellent.
Wally, did you kill that Moringa tree or is it still?
No, thank you for asking. It's doing great. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, I think both of mine bit the dust this last.
It's cold weather.
Well, wait a minute. Then let me ask a question of both of you. Yeah. It did drop its leaves.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I believe it's still fine when you said, the cold weather.
What I've done in the past is just whack it off about 3 feet above the ground. I had one that was 20 feet tall.
Yeah, they'll come right back.
My wife said she can make me tea from the moringa tree. Have you tried that?
I haven't, and that's one of the things. I could grow the things, but I couldn't really feel it. Figure out anything really great to do with it, so I haven't been. But you're better at that sort of thing, so let me know if you come up with some good stuff.
Well, you know my deal. If I take the trouble to care to a plant, it's something I can eat.
Yeah, you gotta eat it.
Well, I was a little hesitant. You know, you start picking stuff out of the yard and making tea out of it. I don't want to end up, strawberry fields forever. Or anything, you know? I don't want anything bad to occur.
Bad mushrooms. You know what I mean?
Miraculous plant. It's just great for all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, it is. They call it the mother's helper in Africa.
Yeah.
Why?
A very high protein.
High protein. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very much.
The moringa tree. Yeah.
Well, appreciate you, Mike. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Have a good morning. Yeah, moringa tea. You know, what she didn't tell me is if I got to dry it first or what I got to do. So if anyone has a recipe or any familiarity with what you can do with the leaves of the moringa, I'd be excited to have you call in and let us know about that. The number would be 340-1045. It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 340-1045. Stay with us. Be right back. . 7:36 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you are here with us. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Heading out to the beaches, checking in with Bill. Help him with his birds of paradise. Welcome, Bill.
Hello.
You're on the air, Bill. Need you to turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
All right.
How can we help, sir?
I've got some probably 15, 16-foot birds of paradise, and this freeze kind of took the worst I've ever had in about 15 years, and this freeze took it. Where do I need to trim them?
Okay. Now, the ones on the outside, this is the white bird of paradise. The ones, the leaves on the outside, trim those down as best you can to the ground so you have a nice, neat appearance. Trimming all the other highly damaged leaves off. Highly damaged, let's say, maybe around 50 to 60%. Ones that are slightly damaged, you want to leave on just for a temporary recovery period. And then you want to put a good amount of fertilizer on there, maybe some fish emulsion, some Miracle-Gro plant fertilizer, the 20-20-20, and then maybe some Osmocote at the same time, because Osmocote's going to be a slow release. That's going to continue on, and the other stuff will get a quick response. And then following again another week, a little bit more fish emulsion, just a little bit more Miracle-Gro. You want to do that twice. What's that going to do? It's going to really stimulate some regrowth. Then when you get the regrowth on, then you're going to have a new set of leaves to make sugar, to do photosynthesis, then remove the older leaves. This is your ideal situation, leaving some of the leaves on so it can still do photosynthesis. And then when the new set comes on, peel off the rest of the dead ones, and you should have a clean-looking plant. But if you're impatient or you just don't like the look of it, you can go ahead and cut all the damaged leaves on fertilizer. It just will take a little bit longer for recovery. All right?
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, Bill.
There's a lot of damaged large white bird of paradise because they're a little more sensitive to the cold than the orange ones, so they're everywhere. Yeah,
they're everywhere, and with damage, this freezes.
The key thing about getting these tropicals to recover is to, get them cut back and get the fertilizer on them.
Time of year, get the fertilizer on them.
Because you figure the fertilizer is going to take at least 1 or 2 or 3 weeks to get, fully kicked in and get them to start going again. Otherwise, you'll be waiting.
What if we have another freeze? Will that whack it?
If we have another freeze, and I say in 3 weeks, there's a possibility, but I'm going to say right now we may have a mild cool down. I looked at the forecast for long term, a mild cool down. I don't think we're going to have another hard freeze, but you never know.
It's the joy of weather.
North Florida. That's just, they're only 50% are accurate.
Let's see if we can help John on the west side with his privacy hedges. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show, John.
Hey, fellas, how's it going today?
Awesome. Thank you. What's up?
About an acre and a half, and I want to put some hedges down on one side where the road is. And I was wondering, Larry, what's the quickest growing, cheapest privacy hedge I should invest in?
Well, Viburnum otismus is probably the quickest growing. If you want it to be around 20 to 30 feet, that's the one you want to get.
20 to 30 feet tall.
It can eventually get that. Maybe 10-15 years if you leave it unpruned. 20 to 30 feet. Yeah, it's pretty good, fast grower. Once it gets established, it can go on the minimum amount of irrigation. Again, you want to make sure you fertilize consistently for the verse at least the first 2-3 years and get it started well. And then once that gets going, then it should be on its own.
What do you feel about azaleas for that use? My whole street's got this giant.
Well, you
got to
have shade. You got to have shade. Okay. They grow in the sun, but if you want a nice, consistent, uniform hedge, that's the one you want to look for. Something that grows in the sun. Planting shade plants in the sun is not a problem with camellias and all those other things, as long as they got consistent irrigation. But any kind of problem, they'll defoliate or they'll die, and then you'll be starting again. But when you're investing time and money in a hedge, and also you're having a monoculture, which a monoculture is more hard, difficult to grow because once one plant gets diseased, it just races through all of them. So viburnum is very, very tough, and it can take drought. It's got a lot of great qualities to it, and it's fast growing. So it's not a good plant to plant under a windowsill, but as a hedge, it's going to make a great shrub. Also, if you want to have something a little lower growing, Walter's Viburnum is another great hedge and a beautiful flower. It's a beautiful spring display. All right?
You good with that, John?
How far apart should I plant these things?
Maybe around 5 feet, 4 feet apart. I know it seems a little bit more, but a little in length, but these things get big.
And they'll look better at maturity.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Good day, sir. All righty, Carlton in Arlington's got some white funky stuff coming through his 5-foot-high block wall. Uh-oh, Carlton, this sounds serious. Carlton, did I lose you? Let's try. We lost Carlton. So Carlton up there in Arlington will make the presumption he's got a retaining wall made out of block, which can be glorious, and he's starting to see that white stuff oozing through it. Never good. Efflorescence coming through that block wall. More than likely, that wall's not draining so good, Larry's the way it's sounding.
Yep.
And you know what usually happens if it's not draining well and you start to see those white streaks coming out, it gets like crunchy. It's called efflorescence. Shortly after that, you run the risk of that baby to start leaning and then bam, over it comes. If you've got a, share with me your experience there, buddy. So a guy's got a 5-foot block wall. It's not draining correctly. That's why I'm seeing that efflorescence.
Right.
How risky is that to dig out behind that and put some drainage in it? You got to do that by hand?
If it's, we got mortar on it, it's no problem.
But that, really?
It's not a problem. It's just dig a little trench down there. Well, really, all block walls should have some, that are any height should have some type of drainage system in there, because that water just and
comes
down
his
there
doesn't, and, or he wouldn't have the problem.
And pushes up against there. So behind the block wall should be maybe 5 to 10 inches of gravel all the way up with landscape fabric, keeping the dirt separated. And then on the bottom should be a perforated pipe to drain out. So that will give the wall longevity.
Generally,
it will spare it from any water destruction, a tremendous amount of things. But it's a huge thing to do after the fact.
Yeah. That's what's scary. Here's what's scaring me. Clearly, they didn't put drainage in behind this wall.
Yep.
If there's no drainage, we got the efflorescence. If the guy didn't do the drainage right, whoever did it, you wonder, are there any tiebacks? What's that footer and foundation look like? I'd be afraid to put a machine on top of that, you know, a bobcat or whatever.
Oh, no, you got to do this by hand.
Do it all by hand.
At least, you know, some exploratory things to see if the thing was tied back. You know, if it wasn't tied back, it's just, then I would tie it back. If the wall is 4 foot, 5 foot tall, you got to have a thing tied back, because it's gonna push over. It's 100% it's going to push over if it's any height.
It sounds challenging and expensive.
Yeah, it'll be about maybe a 30-degree tilt, 20-degree tilt, and then finally, boom, over.
Yeah. You know what I've discovered, and it doesn't matter what part of the home or garden we're dealing with, to do things all the way right compared to is maybe 10%, occasionally 20% more money. The cost to correct when the halfway
more
job.
More than the cost of the original installation, normally.
Like and double and triple. You know, because, I watch it all the time.
Yeah, because you got disassembly, taking it apart, that's one step. Putting it back together is two steps. Fixing the problems, three steps. So you got the same thing.
Double,
you know,
triple.
It's just, a little bit of the problem. You don't do that correctly, especially if you have a tall wall.
It's you know, it's interesting, too. And again, things in a garden, things in a house apply so similar. There are things you can do incrementally if you have that budget need. You can do it in steps or stages if they're thought out ahead of time, as opposed to, I don't really have the economics in place to do it all the way right, so I'll do it poorly, rather than I will do it progressively in the right direction. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
So like in your area of the world, if you start out with a great landscape design, and let's just say this design is going to cost $25,000 to implement, okay? If you say, I don't have $25,000, I have $5,000,
right.
Well, over the next 5 years, or 10 years even, if you incrementally build out this beautiful plan, it'll come out great. And what I watch so many people do, they go, man, I don't have the budget to do this all the way right, and they don't have a plan. So they put down, you know, a few thousand dollars this year, a few thousand other year, and then they get done. 5 years later, you look at this landscape, and you're going, who on God's green earth designed this mess?
Yeah.
They've got a lot of effort in it, a lot of care, a lot of money, and it looks terrible because they didn't start with a great plan.
Right. You know how many people I see probably a year that started to do it themselves and spend $5,000, $4,000, $6,000 over time period, even if they sat down and did their own plan and stick to the plan. Because one weekend they'll watch HGTV and they'll have the rustic style. Oh, they like that, and they'll go out and get rustic style. Next weekend they have Japanese garden, they'll get some of that, and they'll try to blend that all together, and it doesn't quite get to the result they want when they're all finished. So even if you do the plan yourself, you know, decide what you want, come up with a color theme, understand what you need to do on the maintenance. You know, if you want it to be a place of entertainment, or you want it to be a place of horticulture, or if you want it to be a culinary garden, what is the function it's going to perform? And then, you know, or a blend of those functions. And how are you going to, you know, have a plan that compiles all those elements in together and to look aesthetically pleasing? So you want to at least attempt to have a plan. There's a lot of great books and magazines out there. You can have some great ideas yourself, or you can hire a professional to do it for you. But have a plan before you proceed. You're talking about, you know, $5,000-$10,000. You know, people on their the lawns are extremely expensive, so you don't understand the maintenance of it if you're planting a new lawn. All these things need to go into the plan, the overall forecast.
I am a fan of a professional plan in every area.
Yeah.
So if it's a landscape plan, you bring your best ideas to the landscape professional. Very well. Could be Larry. And then you have your best ideas plus the professional's best ideas. If it's a financial plan, here's my best ideas, and then here's a professional that brings in thousands of other ideas.
He knows how to bring those ideas together.
A fitness plan. It's crazy. No one succeeds alone.
Yeah.
You bring your best ideas, work with people who can really flesh out plans, and then you execute. And I'll tell you another thing that happens. It's happened to me on several different fronts. Is I've had my best plan. I've taken it to get professional insights on my plan and decided, you know what? I don't even want to do this thing. This was a bad idea. I've had several business plans that way where I thought, man, I'm going to go into this particular business, you know, bolt it on to HomePro. I'm going to go into this business. I plan it out. I get with an expert in that area, hire a guru to say, hey, flesh out my plan for me. Tell me what I'm missing. And as they flesh out the plan, I go, whoa. I don't want to be in that business. So just things to ponder. Get professional help in your landscape plan, in your no one would build a house without a plan.
No, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Hey, listen, if you're still struggling with those roofing problems, you know, and also some damage caused to the house or anything like that before you begin your landscape, you need to get it addressed. We're working on a project resodding the backyard. They haven't got their roofing situation and their construction situation settled. Can you believe all the damage? A 100-year-old oak tree fell down on this property. It was, you know.
It hit the house?
Yes.
After Matthew, I had an 80-foot pine tree on my house for 4 months. That was glorious.
Oh, that was. But you want to give
I felt like Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, yes. You're camping out again. Galaxy Builders is a good company, reliable. So 503-4164. They'll get your any type of general contracting work you need to get done.
It's 7:50 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break, right back for the final segment of the Home and Garden Show. Love to share it with you. Like to check in at 340-1045. We'll be right back. 7:55 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Got to express gratitude to you once again. Larry and I really enjoy having you with us. It just makes
Thank
it great fun.
Much.
And as always, we're incredibly grateful for the continued support at Larry's Garden, larrysgarden.com, as well as at Home Pro Inspections, gohomepro.com. So thank you. You're much appreciated. Out to Mandarin, checking in with Klein, who's grown some mushrooms. That's my kind of farming.
Mushrooms, okay.
Welcome, Klein.
Hi.
I
wish I were growing mushrooms. I can't seem to get them. I tried twice, two different suppliers. And
Wally is a mushroom guru. His head looks like a mushroom, even.
Klein, they're not sending you the mycelium, or what difficulty are you having?
Well, I tried two different places looking for the shiitakes and did what the instructions said, and zero results.
How much time did you give it?
Oh, at least a year.
Maybe it needs more. You know what you might do is many of the supply houses have these sort of accelerator starter kits. It's cheating. It's not as much fun as inoculating a whole log, but you can buy them. It comes really in sawdust, and they've already aged them. And then within just a couple of weeks, it'll do it, and that'll give you that particular thrill. Mm-hmm. But if you're buying the pegs, is that how you're doing it?
Yes.
Yeah. Either you're not using good fresh logs, or you're just not keeping them in a nice, moist place.
He also could dip them in ice water.
After the first flush, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It could, you know, I've done this 3 times now over the last 6 or 10 years, and sometimes it does take as long as a year and a half to get them to blossom.
We call it a virilization in plants when we stick them in the freezer to get them to start quicker. The same thing with mushrooms, to get them started for you, and then boom. That's a good idea.
Tell me about the wood you use.
Kind of like tulips, huh?
Get them, jumpstart them.
Tell me about the logs you used. What kind of logs and how fresh were they?
Well, they were red oak, and they were from Irma.
Okay.
I've got them right now, the ones I'm curing right now. You know, in the instructions, they tell you don't use them right away because there's some antitoxins that are inherent in the wood, and you've got to let that dissipate. And I did all that stuff, and still nothing.
Well, Irma's only been, 5 or 6 months?
No, yeah, I know. But prior, I've got a new batch of logs I'm getting ready to process, and that was the reason I called you, hoping maybe I had just gotten a bad supplier or a bad supply twice.
That's pretty unlikely. I would guess it's either log or environmental. If you feel confident in the log and the log choice match the shiitakes. And you know, all shiitakes not created equal either. When you order them, you tell them whether you're warm environment, cold environment. Did you do that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the last time I got them out of Alachua.
Yeah.
There's a guy over there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
I got them from Chattanooga.
Hmm. Chattanooga, that place up there is, I believe, where I've had them. I think patience. And the other thing to do while you're being patient is continue to inoculate more logs. And sooner or later, one or more of the batches is going to go. So
I
appreciate that.
Logs.
7:58 here at News 104.5, Fox News Traffic Weather. And Larry and I are grateful for you. Talk to you next week. Have a beautiful day. Use your turn signal.